Welcome to Financial Repression Authority's Roundtable Insight, where the best fund managers, economists, and industry leaders discuss the key investment issues and challenges in the current macroeconomic environment.
Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is Richard Benulli. Today we have Doug Casey. Doug is the founder of Casey Research and a best-selling author, world-renowned speculator, and libertarian philosopher. He literally wrote the book on profiting from periods of economic turmoil. His book, Crisis Investing, spent multiple weeks as number one on the New York Times bestseller list and became the best-selling financial book of 1980 with 438,640 copies sold. Doug has lived in 10 countries and visited over 175. He lives these days mostly between Uruguay and Argentina. And he also has a podcast called Doug Casey's Take and his blog, internationalman.com. And then we'll get into his series of novels that he's been writing on as well. Welcome, Doug.
Pleasure to be here, Richard.
Great.
It's a sunny day here in Uruguay. I suppose it's a cold and snowy day up there in Ontario.
Yeah, I think yesterday we got down to minus 14 Celsius here, so, you know, So pretty cold, yeah. Great, I thought we begin with a discussion at a macro level. What are your thoughts today on the global economy and the financial markets?
Well, I've had a bearish cast for a long period of time. The reason for that is that government has been becoming more and more powerful for many years, and that accounts for my generally bearish cast. On the other hand, the stock market has gone up, up, up. There are a number of reasons for that, but most recently, it's because the Federal Reserve in the U.S. and central banks around the world, the Fed isn't the only one, have been creating tons and tons of new currency units. And that money has mostly gone into the financial markets, which has given everybody a feeling of artificial wealth. But now these trillions of new currency units are starting to filter down into the lower levels of society. So we're seeing things like bread and meat and gasoline explode upwards in price. So I think this is going to continue and accelerate. And the fool's paradise we're currently living in, where everybody feels rich because of all the money that's been placed in their bank accounts directly and indirectly, it's going to come to a very bad end. And I expect a chaotic year this year in 2022. That's my guess.
Interesting. And what do you make of the COVID crisis? Is it simply about the pharmaceutical industry looking to make big profits, or are there more overlapping agendas? Like what is the role that governments have played into the crisis? Do you make of the opportunity that the World Economic Forum is taking and implementing the Great Reset agenda? What are your thoughts there?
Well, as far as COVID is concerned, my basic belief is that health is something that you take care of yourself. You're responsible for your personal health, much the way you're responsible for your personal automobile or your personal house. It's none of the government's business. And government getting involved in medicine is about as intelligent as the government getting involved in anything. Costs go up, efficiency goes down, turns into a complete disaster. Now, this COVID thing, as far as I can determine, and it's hard to determine anything because it's such a highly politicized topic that it's really hard to believe anything. See, everybody's got an axe to grind, but as far as I can figure, it's a nasty type of flu, maybe created in China. Who knows? Indications seem to be that way, but you don't want to get it. but it's not really more dangerous than the annual flu. The numbers are, in the past, the annual flu, seasonal flu, would kill in between 30 and 60,000 Americans, normal year. Bad flus in the past, Asian flu is one, Hong Kong flu another, swine flu, bird flu, they'd kill a lot more people, okay? But it comes and goes. For some reason, this COVID thing has been ramped up into an international hysteria, which it seems like a conspiracy from some points of view, but well, you can't attribute to conspiracy what you can perhaps write off to just general stupidity. So whatever COVID is, governmental actions have made it much, much worse, both by quashing discussions about how to counteract it, what drugs you ought to take to make it less severe when you get it, if you get it. But the fact is, the average age of death from people that get COVID is 80, which is about when people die normally. So yeah, it's basically a hysteria, and it's being used by governments and the kind of people that go into governments who are not the best and brightest. They're the worst kind of people, generally speaking. They're the people that work at the DMV, but wearing expensive suits. Basically, everything the government's done has made this whole thing worse, and they've used it to take a lot more power to themselves. Government's about power. They like power. So I don't know how it's going to end, but the consequences of government action, taking it from between you and your doctor to you and your local bureaucrat or politician, it's much, much worse than it should otherwise have been. Mm-hmm. And that's it in a nutshell. I mean, I didn't want to give a disquisition on COVID, but mostly hysteria. Actually, it's hysteria that recently has been mutating into mass psychosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've seen lots of freedoms and liberties being taken away in many Western world democratic republics. Do you see this as a long-term trend, or will things get better?
Well, you know, I'm a history aficionado, and most of the reading that I do is on either history or science, actually. Two things that interest me. And it seems to me that personal freedom has been diminishing in the Western world for about the last 100 years, even while the standard of living has been going up because of scientific breakthroughs and technological breakthroughs. And of course, as the standard of living goes up, people don't really care. I mean, that's the most important thing. I mean, living well. And they don't pay much attention to you know, what they can do and not do so much, especially if it's a gradual process. But it seems to me that most of the world's states, governments are turning their countries into police states in lots of different ways, not just because of this COVID thing and possible COVID passports, which are coming up, and their lockdowns and making everybody wear masks. You know, this is just one more thing, but freedom has been diminishing around the world for years. And now, because of this COVID thing, I think it's going to be, well, it is much harder to travel internationally than it's ever been. I mean, international flights are down about 50% from what they were before. And in a lot of countries, it's even hard to travel locally. I mean, especially in Australia, well, Canada, some places in the US. You can't even travel into a restaurant some places unless you show your papers are in order. So I'm pretty concerned about the state of freedom in the world at this point. And what really kind of scares me is I've been saying for some time that we're headed for something called the Greater Depression, which is going to make what happened from 1929 to 1946 it'll be much worse and much different and much longer lasting than what happened back then. And I think I'm on target. And it's likely to start with an upset in the financial markets, and that might cascade over to a genuine upset in the economy with unemployment and business failures. And at that point, people will become so scared, they've come to think that everything, the government can do everything, like the government is magic. And at that point, we'll have political consequences, and then we'll have social consequences, and maybe military consequences, because when things get bad within a country, oftentimes government officials look to blame some nasty foreigners for what's going on domestically. So I think 2022 has the prospects of being a very turbulent year. Same with 2023. The whole decade is going to be a real problem. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell.
Even internally, the last week or so here, we've seen France and here in Canada, the prime minister is vilifying its non-vax citizens as non-citizens and being racist and misogynist generally, which is crazy. Your thoughts about that?
Oh, it's shocking. I mean, it's shameful to think that Canadians elected Justin Trudeau. I mean, that's shocking and shameful. Or for that matter, that the Frenchman elected Macron. It's just a bureaucrat, that's all he is. Well, even worse is that the Americans apparently elected Joe Biden, and Biden is just an ineffectual, doddering old potential Alzheimer's victim. So I'm not worried about. All these people around him are actually Jacobins. They're Bolsheviks. I mean, these people are serious and dangerous. And they control, they have control of the apparatus of power in Washington, which is what the whole world centers around. Let's admit it. I mean, Paris and Ottawa and London are just like satellites. It's what happens in Washington. But now we have genuine bad guys in power. And who knows what they're going to do? They're going to do the best they can to cement themselves in office. More laws, more taxes, this Build Back Better is basically going to offer all kinds of freebies. Most of it will go to the rich people, but lots of freebies to the hoi polloi. And once you give people free stuff, it's hard to take it away from them. Very hard, because they get used to getting the freebies. Mm-hmm. So, I think this trend is going to continue until we reach a crisis.
Mm-hmm. And emerging from all of this, do you see a net migration from Western Europe and North America to Latin America and Asia? And then, you know, basically on that, which countries will benefit from this migration?
Well, you know, for a lot of my life, actually, I've actually turned into a rootless cosmopolitan, which is a term that Karl Marx coined. He didn't like rootless cosmopolitans, incidentally. My personal belief is your country should be wherever you're treated the best, wherever you have the most personal freedom, the most personal opportunity. And I guess to answer your question, I mean, the U.S. has always been the epicenter of personal freedom and personal opportunity. And if I was a poor person from any place in the world, the U.S. would be number one on my list of where to go, no question about it. Canada would have been on that list. It still is, actually. But I'm not. I'm a well-to-do guy in the U.S., so where do I want to go? Like, where do most of the people that are listening to this podcast now, if they feel that their government is impinging on them and taking their money and diminishing their opportunity, and where should you go? I lived in the Orient for years. I like that. It's got a lot of advantages. If you're a Western European or European extraction, it's hard to ever really be part of an Oriental society just because you look different. But that doesn't really make any difference. I mean, you're treated well. So I lived in the Orient for years. I'm now living in America, which you know, you can pretty well integrate into these societies. And these governments down here, they tend to be, I find that they leave you alone more. So here in Uruguay and even in Argentina, where you're generally left alone. I mean, not to say the governments aren't intrusive and stupid and the taxes are bothersome and all that, but you can avoid them much more effectively than you can in North America, where things are much more efficient than they are here in South America. So where should you go if you're looking to maximize your personal freedom? Not necessarily economic opportunity, but personal freedom. If you've got a little bit of money, I think Uruguay is at the top of the list. Love Argentina, but they've had Peronism, which is really Mussolini's fascism, given reality on a broad scale. They've had that for many years. Delightful country, crazy government. Chile advanced from being the, you know, just a worthless backwater with a nice climate under, in the early 70s, when, what was the name of that? What was the name of the military guy that kicked out Allende? God, why is my memory blanking on his name
Pinochet.
Pinochet, of course. So actually what he did transformed Chile from a backward shithole into the, by far, the most advanced and prosperous country in Latin America. But of course, prosperity was too good for the Chileans. Now they've elected a communist. So I'd rule out Chile for the years to come. Argentina is tough with the Kirchners and up. Uruguay is probably the best choice. Southern Brazil is nice too, actually. I wouldn't rule that out. Listen, there's no place that you can go where they'll really leave you alone these days.
And recently there was a victory in Argentina by Javier Milei as an Austrian school economist with 13% of the vote. Do you see any trends there, perhaps in the whole Mercosur region?
You know, I guess I'm a perpetual optimist. I'd always like to think that finally, people just get fed up with being told what to do and having all their money taken away from them and being treated like milk cows. I'd like to think they'd get fed up with that. And in terms of local freedom movements, Argentina has always been the most westward facing and classically liberal country South America, notwithstanding the Kirchnerism and the Peronism and so forth. Answer your question, no. I'm afraid that, Milei and there are several others. What do we have? I think we've got something like 265 parliamentarians in Argentina, of which four are in the party with Milei. So it's not even a rounding error. Yeah, I mean, cause for hope, but not too much hope. Mm-hmm. You know, we live on the planet of the crazy chimpanzees. And frankly, most of the people on this planet are infected by the diseases of statism and collectivism. And I don't know how to cure those diseases at this point. Mm-hmm. But much more dangerous than COVID, that's for sure. Much more real.
Yeah. And Shifting to the topic of ESG, what do you make of the ESG trends, in particular against the fossil fuel industry and calls for climate change controls? Will this cause food declines, potential famines, rising inflation in food and energy?
Yeah, ESG, what is that? Environmental, social governance, something like that. Basically, it's just a blanket term for busybodyism and wokeism, more collectivism. And the way it's evidencing itself now is that in the US, if you're a publicly traded company, there's a, and I'm sure it's this way in Canada too. There's a huge impetus now that your board of directors has to have a woman on it and has to have a person of color, white doesn't count as a color, on the board of directors, regardless of what qualifications or lack thereof they might have. It's so stupid to choose people on any grounds other than their competence and their honesty and things like that. So it's really stupid and destructive and evil. And so I'm totally opposed to ESG and wokeism and all the rest of it. I mean, it's identity politics. It's all part of that greater movement where you don't look at people as individuals, you look at them as members of groups. Pressure groups. And that is a really stupid way to look at people, viewing them as members of this, that, or the other thing, as opposed to analyzing that person that you're dealing with and making a judgment thereof. So it's part of the total trend of the diminishment of Western civilization, which incidentally, all these people that are for those things generally hate. Which I hasten to say is the only civilization in world history that's worth anything. I mean, it's worth more than everything else put together. I mean, years ago, Ayn Rand said, East minus West equals zero. That's not exactly true. I do like some things that come out of the Orient. I like Taoism. I like Oriental cuisine. I like yoga. I like martial arts. Not all martial arts came out of the Orient, but many of them did. It's not that I like some Oriental art, some. So it's not like it's East minus West is zero. There's good things that come out of the Orient, but by comparison to the gifts of the West, yeah, it amounts to zero. But people want to destroy Western civilization. Hi, hi, ho, ho, Western civ has got to go. These people are yahoos. They're the new barbarians. They're actually crazy, I think.
And do you see a potential for using or the use of central bank digital currencies and vaxports, vaccine passports, to actually implement climate and social controls? Do you see that potential?
Yeah, the Chinese are leading the way there, actually, because they've put into place something they call the social credit system over the last few years. And basically, it means that who you associate with, what you say, what you do, your credit score, lots and lots of different things, and you get a general score. And if you get a high score, if you're a good little lamb, basically, then you get lots of privileges that are granted to you. If you get a low score, well, then you can't even ride a high-speed train. You can't take an airplane flight. You can't do all kinds of things. So we're kind of going in that direction in North America. And part of that phenomenon is the digital currency, which in China is pretty much in place, also in Sweden and a few other places in the world. I mean, people like to do things with their cell phone as opposed to use cash, $100 bills or whatever for stuff. And it's disastrous because what it means is that everything you buy and sell and own is all in your digital record. And not only that, but the state is able to lock you down, cancel your credit if you're naughty. I mean, it's really, really dangerous. It makes you much more a cog in the wheel than ever before in the past. And of course, the currencies themselves, the dollar or whatever, yuan or kwachas or pulas or whatever worthless currency you have, its value is controlled totally by the central banks and the government, by the number that they print up, which they get to use first and their pals get to use first. So it's a great way to control people. And that trend is pretty much still, it's not just in motion, it's accelerating. So it's scary. Mm-hmm.
And yes, speaking of that, like if we look at government-based central bank digital currencies and private-based cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, do you see the potential of them coexisting? In other words, will governments allow private-based cryptocurrencies to coexist with government-based cryptocurrencies?
My thought is that they'd like to get rid of them because they're competitive to fiat currencies. And pretty much like gold. I mean, for many years, gold ownership for private people was outlawed in the US. The average person doesn't even know gold exists today, quite frankly, hardly. Fund managers certainly don't. One of the reasons that I'm so optimistic about, although gold is reasonably priced now, in my opinion, relative to houses and restaurant meals and clothes, it's kind of reasonably priced right now. It's caught up. Don't forget, it went from $35 in 1971 to what, $18.25 or something like that today. It's done great over that period of time. But it's reasonably priced. But nobody cares it exists. I think it's going higher because things, you know, go from, you know, really too cheap to really too expensive, and you know, kind of the middle zone for gold right now. But I guess to answer the question, gold competes with fiat currencies. Bitcoin competes with government fiat currencies. They'd like to get rid of Bitcoin. Can they do it? I don't know. Depends on how much of a police state they turn the country into to do it. But the higher inflation gets, the more unstable the economy gets, both are going to happen. The more people are going to be drawn towards Bitcoin, especially people in third world countries, because like 3/4 of the world's people live in countries with what amount to foreign exchange controls. I mean, if you have a kwacha or a pula, it's worthless outside of the country that issues it, and they're dog shit countries. So people in those countries, they all have cell phones. I mean, even the poorest African, after he buys a t-shirt with the name of some rock band on it, next thing he buys is a smartphone. So they're all going to start using these currencies. I'm a fan of Bitcoin and certain other digital currencies, and I think they'll do okay. Although governments are going to fight against them, so it could become inconvenient and dangerous to use them. But mm-hmm. better than fiat currencies.
And in terms of just investment asset classes that you like that make sense for investment, for trading, or protecting themselves as investors, what are your ideas and suggestions at this time?
Well, I've been buying gold. I hate to admit this, that I'm that old, but I've been buying gold in the form of gold coins for 50 years, and I've never sold one. I've used it as a savings program, which is the way gold should be used. Put it aside, produce more than you consume, save the difference. What do you save it at? You don't want to save it in fiat currencies, which can be inflated out of existence, or the bank you put them in can go bust. So gold coins are the best way to save. It's been a great idea for my whole life. I think it'll continue to be a great idea. So people should do that. So even though gold is kind of is a speculative vehicle, not terribly interesting, but I'd still buy gold coins and save with them. It's one thing. I think silver is at this moment, is a very interesting speculation with some genuine upside potential as a speculative vehicle. I like silver a lot. Commodities have run up a lot over the last year, but I think they're going to go higher. And each commodity market is very different from every others with different dynamics, but commodities are a good place to look. I'd be short bonds. I wouldn't own a bond under any circumstances. Well, there might be some, but you don't want bonds because interest rates have been going down for 40 years. That was up for lots of reasons. So if you have any bonds, dump them. Stock market, grossly overpriced by every parameter I can think of. I don't know what it's going to do tomorrow morning or next week or next month, but I don't want any part of it, quite frankly. Look, these are scary times in that what you should be aiming to do now is preserve capital. I know everybody's making a killing in the stock market. It's been wonderful. It's been fantastic. I mean, it's great. But this party's going to come to an end. And when you have a depression, most people lose, and the winner is the person that loses the least. So I think that, you know, close your Robinhood account and sell all the crap that people have bought there. That's, you know, meme stocks and stuff selling for 100 times earnings or no earnings at all, or 100 times losses more likely. And batten down the hatches, buy gold coins, Bitcoin, it's run up so far over the last 13 years. Hate to recommend it as other than a transfer vehicle, but you know, it's a good way to get some money out of the system. It's tough. These are very tough times where everything seems overpriced, which is kind of cosmically impossible, metaphysically impossible for everything to be overpriced. But it almost seems that way at this point. Very dangerous situation when that's the case. Mm-hmm.
And final question on looking at your series of books. So I believe you've got Speculator, Drug Lord, Assassin, and there's a new one coming out later this year. Is that correct? Can you comment on those books? And in particular,
I decided some time ago that look, there's lots of things that you can say in the form of fiction that you really better not say in the form of nonfiction, number one. And number two, a lot of people just prefer reading fiction stories than nonfiction. I understand that. So I'm doing this series of seven novels, which take our hero, Charles Knight, through seven increasingly politically incorrect occupations, which he reforms. Speculator, gets involved in a mining stock, makes a bunch of money, didn't have any money, made a bunch of money, goes to Africa to check it out, finds it's a fraud, and gets involved in a bush war in West Africa. So that's a hell of a book, Speculator, with a lot about the mining business and so forth. And the next book, after running around the world for some years, Charles gets involved in the drug business, both legal and illegal drugs. And that's kind of interesting too, especially in today's world context. There's a lot to that book, Drug Lord. But the government steals all his money from him and puts him in jail for 2 years. And then he becomes an assassin. And assassin examines the morality of killing people, political assassinations, in other words, which is kind of, you're not supposed to talk about that. Good, bad, effective, ineffective, you know, techniques. First line of the book is some people just need killing. And I think that's a fact. Although I don't advocate violence, I'm personally a very nonviolent person. Although the next book in the series is, and these are all on Amazon, going to be Terrorist, where Charles is accused of being a terrorist. And that gives me an opportunity to explore terrorism, which is a bugaboo today, but it's really just a method of warfare, like cavalry charges or artillery barrages. So anyway, I recommend anybody that's listened this far with this to go on Amazon and get a copy of these. You'll be well rewarded, I promise. But, you know, same from the blog, internationalman.com, and my podcast, which I guess we're very friendly competitors from that point of view, but I'm on YouTube too, yeah. On Doug Casey's Take.
Yeah, it's a great podcast. I've watched it many times. Well, great, yeah. Thank you so much, Doug, for your great insight, and hope to talk again soon. Thank you so much.
Okay, Richard, it's been a pleasure.
The FRA Roundtable Insight Show is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the show each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Any discussions among the panel participants or responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the panel participants and do not take into consideration the listener's suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Please be advised that you invest or speculate at your own risk.